This is an MPB Think Radio podcast. To hear previous shows, visit mpbonline.org or download the MPB Public Radio app to listen on your iPhone or Android phone on demand.
Do you drive a vehicle? Then you'll find autocorrect helpful, especially on Coach Charlie's Tip of the Week. Listen to our podcast with me, Coach Charlie Melton, on any podcasting platform or on the MPB Public Media app.
Thanks for tuning in to Everyday Tech. This is Abram Nanny here with Sabir Abdul-Haq. Shane Chisholm is out this morning. Sabir, we've got a little bit of an audience right here.
We do.
We got some guests in the studio. We got some students from Canton High School.
Canton High.
That's right. That's what I'm talking about. So we even had a little bit of a guest engineer right there. So that was real cool.
Yes, indeed.
So today on Everyday Tech, we're going to kick off the first episode of what I'm calling the Versus series, where we'll compare two products or services to help inform your decisions. If you've listened to previous shows, you know that we talk about the phones we carry in our pockets every day, a lot, probably almost every show. And every time I mention that we'll eventually do a show pitting iPhones and Androids against each other. Well, today is that day. Mm-hmm. iPhone versus Android. What are the advantages of both? What are the problems with both? Email everydaytech at mpbonline.org if you have any questions or comments. And don't forget about the Talk to Us feature on the MPB Public Media app, where you can record a voice or video message and send it to us right here at Everyday Tech. And so before we get into everything, I always like to check in with you guys. So we had Java back there operating the boards a little bit, and we got a little guest back there helping us out. Yeah. Sabir, how's it going, man?
Doing okay. And shout out to the folks at Canton High. Go Tigers. Shout out to Canton High. But yeah, we doing okay. It's just been a usual busy week as usual, staying on top of stuff. You know what? I said busy. I don't believe in the word busy.
You don't believe in the word busy.
Mm-mm. There's a difference between busy and productive. It's been a productive week.
All right.
So it's been a productive week in the realm of IT, and glad to be here.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Yep. So like I said, we're talking about iPhone versus Android.
Absolutely.
I use an iPhone, and I have for years. Mm-hmm. And I know you are an Android
Die-hard Android user. You're on the side of my wife. When she listens to this, she's at work right now. But when she listens to this, she's going to be like, yeah, I like that guy. I like that Abram guy.
Well, I've got one fan.
Yeah.
There we go. I've got one supporter.
Hey, That's what's up. The missus is definitely we always butt heads on that.
But yeah. I mean, I'm not gonna sit here and butt heads with you about it. It's just what I've got. Mm-hmm. Like I respect the Android. I respect iPhone. Mm. I don't particularly go to bat for either one of them.
Right.
Hey, Shane, was it? Oh, wait. There's no Shane, is there?
Don't do that, man, like that.
No. We're going to make fun of him for it.
That's so messed up. He's so messed up.
No Shane. But he,
busy.
He's busy right now. Mm-hmm. So what do you find yourself working with phones a lot?
Generally, yeah. Well, I get questions about how to push things through. I do work with phones. Most of my bread and butter, I would say, day in, day out, is going to be mostly like PCs, every now and then Macs. But phones are important, too. Phones have a lot of different things, and they come with, regardless of who you come through, right? Folks nowadays are trying to find more and more sneaky ways. We've talked on the show about threat actors. Again, a threat actor is someone with bad intentions that wants to be able to get their grubby mitts on your email, on your, you know, try to figure out a way to trick you into giving away your bank password and stuff like that. Threat actors hit how they hit. But a lot of times when I deal with mobile phones, when mobile phones are, people are asking me about a phone, it's like, oh, well, did I do the wrong thing? Did I press the wrong button? Did I get the wrong app? Did I click on the wrong link from an email that I thought came from my nephew? Some of those things. Mm-hmm. And I say that because I just had a conversation with somebody about that Sunday. But, you know, yeah, we do in my business, we do video, we do walkthroughs on how to be able to get things with phones, how to be able to deal with certain things, how to be able to operate your phones. We do a number of business with phones, and it just depends. Now, one of the things, again, this is my shot against iPhone. most of the situations that I see against iPhones are generally because people have run out of space on their iPhone. Mm-hmm. I wish I had sound effects. I would cue like the studio audience going, "Aw." But that's main things. And for Android, and I know we're going to get into this, Android, when people say that they've done something, they've downloaded the wrong file or they've clicked on the wrong link in their email. And so it's usually those are my two main things when people contact me about a phone.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what have you been dealing with this week? Have you had any phones specifically or just what have you been working on?
Well, the iPhone is great. This week I've had an instance where someone was using an authentication app. An authentication app, again, I try not to talk tech. I want to be able to explain and walk through. Authentication app is just the way it's basically a program that would say, hey, Abram does have permission to use this. And it might be a tap of a button. It might be a 6-digit code that comes through what's called 2-factor authentication, any number of different things. But an authentication app basically manages that for you. And I was helping someone. There's two things, actually. One was someone who had saved their authentication, their password, their credentials to their phone that allowed them access to a Wi-Fi. They had an iPhone, but it accessed them to their Wi-Fi. And they changed their password. This was actually yesterday. We realized what the problem was. They saved their authentication to their phone and they kept getting locked out. And it took some head scratching and realized, wait a minute, you have you've changed your password, but the phone still saved it to your Wi-Fi. This is nothing that most retailers would see. This is more on kind of like the work side of stuff. And so this person got locked out of all of their stuff. But the problem was because their phone had saved their information. And it was definitely interesting. So basically, it's been a week of in terms of both Android. I did have a couple of Androids that done that. But the last one was iPhone. It saved their password and people were getting locked out. And so lockouts do happen. Lockouts happen in that situation. You will, kind of bump your head on a brick wall like what happened? And then it turns out to be something that you may have saved your password. Apple does really good, I would say. I'll get to their credit. They do really good about making sure that that we're trying to make it easy for example, for Abram. I'm going to make it easy for Abram to get into his accounts, to get into his saved websites that he goes to on his phone, to get into his Walmart account. They'll save your password for you through what's called Keychain.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've got your Keychain is providing that for you, that's great. But then if you change your password, Keychain is going to remember your last password and say, no, Abram, I know you changed your password, but your keychain says that it's this still, and you'll find yourself locked out.
Yeah.
So basically, it's just authentication can be an issue sometimes on both phones, but iOS is really good. And I say that kind of with a grain of salt. iOS is really good about saying, we're going to save the password for you, and then you might find yourself locked out. So iPhone users, if you're getting locked out sometimes and you've changed your password, probably the keychain has saved your password, even though you've changed it. All you need to do is go to your keychain and delete that old one. So that's a free little tidbit for iPhone users. Androids don't do that too prevalently. iPhone is really good about that for keychain.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to ask, does Android have that keychain or an equivalent feature?
Right. So Android does something, particularly Samsung phones. And again, I want to be clear about something. So not every, and we were talking about this on social media not too long ago in a big, huge discussion. There's a difference between Team Android and Team Samsung, right? Samsung is different. I'm Team Samsung. Not all Androids are built equally, but I'm Team Samsung. But definitely Samsung has something called Knox that they use, K-N-O-X, like Fort Knox, right?
Oh, okay.
Given the name.
Yeah, yeah.
So Samsung has the Knox security feature, which really will lock your phone down, and it's really good about fighting stuff. And also Samsung Pass will manage your keychains for you, which manage your passwords for you. So whereas Apple will use the iOS keychain feature, Samsung Pass will manage your passwords for you, but not as aggressively if you change them. If you change it, Samsung Pass, for example, will automatically say, oh, wait a minute, you've changed your password. Do you want to update this? Now, if you tell it no, you're going to get locked out.
Right.
But it's also very proactive in saying, hey, wait a minute, Sabir, you've changed your password. Don't you want to change that? Google does it something similar. Like, it's called Google Password Manager. However, that's only as strong if you don't have two-factor authentication. Again, we've talked about that in past shows. If you don't have two-factor authentication, you will find yourself in a world of trouble.
Right.
So, because then your only security you have is a password. And I helped a client and friend of mine, good friend of mine out in Brandon, right there off Trickham Bridge, a good friend of mine out there who had an issue with that. And she was concerned about being hacked. And we walked her through it, and she felt better. She felt better.
Yeah, yep. That's good. I mean, iPhone does have that similar feature where you can, if you change your password and you re-enter your password, you go back to the website, it'll be like, hey, you did a different password than the last time. Do you want to save it?
Right.
But if all you do is change it and don't go back to that website, it probably won't remember it. But it can. It's just different every time.
And so and the thing is, if let's say if you go on a different computer, if you're on a different computer and try to log in on that computer, the keychain is still remembering from your phone. That's the main problem.
Until you sync
that's
it.
That's the main
or
problem. So until you find a way to sync it, let's say, for example, if you come and say, hey, Sabir, I want to go ahead and go to this Lowe's account right quick. Let me go and look this information up. You go to Lowe's and all of a sudden your stuff is gone. Like, or if you go to the Lowe's account and you're trying to log in with your keychain information you saved on your phone. Well, if you go on another computer, say, wait a minute, this is not the same password. You might get locked out.
Right.
That's kind of how that goes.
So that's just one step of security.
One step.
We'll get a lot more into security as we go on with the show. Thanks for listening to MPB Think Radio and tuning into Everyday Tech this morning. My name is Abram Naney. I've got Sabir Abdul-Haq, my IT expert, here with me. Email your questions or comments to everydaytech@mpbonline.org. And you can attach a picture or screenshots or whatever to help us assess your situation. Or download the MPB Public Media app and use the Talk to Us feature to leave an audio or video message. Now, we're getting into iPhone versus Android, and to do that, I've got to clarify a few things.
Sure.
iPhones and Androids aren't the only two options for phones out there.
True.
We just know that they are the most prevalent smartphones in our area. Mm-hmm. We also know that a smartphone isn't necessarily mandatory for everyone.
That's true.
Many people have regular cell phones just to make calls and texts. So that's perfectly okay. Mm-hmm. But for this discussion, we're simply putting this smartphone against that smartphone, iPhone versus Android.
Right.
So with many generations of both phones, it's hard to compare them over the years. So we're just going to do our best and compare the most recent editions of the phones.
Yeah.
So when I was doing research for this, I found Tom's Guide.
Love Tom's Guide.
Yeah. Solid
awesome.
Source.
Oh, my
solid
God.
Source. Real good stuff. They said an advantage to Android is that there's no bloatware.
Correct.
On Androids compared to iPhones. What is bloatware?
Bloatware is it's a great question. Bloatware is basically additional apps and stuff, that basically extra stuff that's inside the phone that's not needed. Like, so it would be a lot like saying, hey, I want to walk in. You walk into a donut store and say, hey, I want a glazed donut. And you'd be like, okay, cool. And when you come out, it's a glazed donut that's raspberry filling, candy sprinkles, and a cherry on top. Like, I ain't asked for all this. So, but that's basically what bloatware is. Android is bad about that. That's actually on my list.
Said that incorrectly. Yeah. Android has bloatware.
You said it right. Okay. Yeah. Android is bad about that. Yeah. Android is bad about that. The thing is that a lot of that bloatware, they're looking for ways and they're trying to do faster, in my opinion, updates. And they run things on the background. So it's almost like saying that, yeah, we're giving you this donut. We're giving you this donut with all this stuff on top of it. That's because in a minute, we predict that you're going to want some sprinkles. We predict that you're going to want that cherry on the top.
Right.
But I mean, I'm being ridiculous about that. But basically, so when you have the bloatware is made to help streamline it. Well, ideally, it's designed to help streamline future updates that they think might be issue. And so there, but the thing is, they're absolutely correct. Bloatware comes in on a phone that will go ahead and slide right on in, but it's almost like a, it's almost like an empty puzzle piece space. They're expecting for that puzzle piece, there's going to be a need to put a puzzle piece there, but it, it needs to first have that empty spot for the puzzle to sit into. So, but that, that, that bloatware can be, it definitely can be an issue. And sometimes some third party developers on certain things, especially if you're buying something, they say, hey, this is supported by, you know, if it may be a free app, for example, but it'll say that this app includes ads by other companies. They don't always monitor the developers of those programs. If I'm playing my favorite Pokemon Go, if I'm going to balance my budget, if I'm going to do something else, and if it says that it's free, it probably comes with ads, mm-hmm. and those ads aren't always watched.
Right.
And sometimes the problem, it's the same way if you were on your computer and if you downloaded, if I'm sure plenty of our listeners probably have noticed when they download Adobe Reader. I'm going to give that as an example, Adobe Acrobat Reader. When you download Adobe Acrobat Reader, for the longest, they may have fixed this. I don't know. Last time I saw it, they didn't. When you go there, it says, hey, don't you want to also download Microsoft McAfee Scan Plus?
Or right.
Don't you want to also download this? This, you have to uncheck it. If you don't uncheck it, it will put it on your phone. That's essentially bloatware, because McAfee allowed, paid some money for Adobe to say, here, we'll give you some money to, for, you know, for your stuff if you allow us to put our program with you. Same way with Android or anybody else that does bloatware. Just Android can be bad about it.
Right.
It can be bad about it. And one thing I will also give iPhone credit. iPhone, if you're a developer, for you developers out there, I don't know if any of our students in the studio are developers or want to be software developers. There is one thing that Android has over iPhone. To develop an app and publish an app on Android is $99. To develop an app and publish an app on iPhone is $1,000.
Really?
Yes. It is markedly higher.
Okay.
And so at least the last time I was doing some, this was as of late last year, the last time I was working on some app development stuff. If you're trying to put it on the Google Play Store, if you're trying to do it on Android, that's $99. Now, there might be other things that you have to go through, but that's basically their publishing price as of, like I said, 2022, like late 2022. But yeah, if you're trying to do it on iPhone, the thing is, though, to their credit, iPhone is far more rigorous.
Right.
I mean, they are just like, just anal with the T, like, no, this is not right. And they will shut your app down. They will shut your app down completely if you don't go ahead and follow their routines. But it's as rigorous as it is, it comes out pretty clean. It's just a grand. That's $1,000 versus having to pay $100. Let's say if, for example, if a business wanted to go ahead and set something up, you know, you just started or whatever, and you're like, I want to get an app. Well, you might as well already add $1,100 to your to your whatever your operating cost is for your small business, because you're going to have to pay that. Now, if you just wanted to have an Android app, yeah. But Android, although their stuff is, I ain't going to say it's lax, it's just not as, oh my gosh, they're just not as they're not as much as detailed as much as they're going to go through. But sometimes with that detail will allow for bloatware. Sometimes that detail, someone may slide something in on you. Doesn't happen often, but it can happen. So I really want for, you know, folks to keep that in mind. Bloatware is serious. Bloatware does come through, but it's definitely something that people should keep in mind.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, so that's a big problem.
That is a big problem
for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Another thing that people
what you got?
See as an advantage for Apple, mm-hmm. or, you know, it could be a con either.
Mm-hmm.
Either one. So when you have an iPhone, you can link it to other Apple devices. So your watch or your laptop, because Apple ID and Apple, you know, identification, whatever.
Yeah.
Android does not necessarily have that same identification. Like, is it going to, if I have an Android and I have Windows, are they going to have all the same data linked together?
Yes,
they are.
Yeah.
Okay.
What Google has done is they understand that not a lot of people are buying Chromebooks, right? Mm-hmm. A nice little white that nice little white laptop that's sitting right there. People, not a lot of people are buying Chromebooks. With a Chromebook, it will follow you wherever you are. So what they've decided is Google Chrome is everywhere. Google Chrome is cross-platform. It's on PC. It's on Mac. It's on their own Chromebooks. If you, what they've been doing as of late is encouraging folks to, like my personal email, I would log in with my personal email on Chrome. And if I log in with my personal email on Chrome, all of the apps that I have follow me. I have okay. my Google Drive follows me, which, by the way, for for $10 a month, I get 1 terabyte of space on Google mm-hmm. Drive. $5 a month gives you what? I think, what, 15, 50, something like that, 100 gigs, I think. They've Microsoft and Apple have been trying to keep up with them. So that's one thing I will say in Google/Android's hat is that there are better ways to be able to connect. You don't have to worry about a computer. I can come to any computer in here that's got Google Drive on it, authenticate from my phone using my Gmail account, and I have access to everything as if I was working from home.
Okay.
Everything, apps or not.
And that's even if you don't have, like, if it's not paid under the same bill or whatever.
Correct. Well, I mean, if it's under the same bill. So let's say, for example, like my wife, she, as much as she gives me havoc about, you know, we have our Android versus iPhone stuff, she's got, for her businesses that she has and for her companies that she runs, we run everything through Google Drive. We have everything backed up on her computer. If something happens to her computer, theft, any of those things. Google has its own native security system that in certain things that it does. iPhone, I will give iOS credit. iOS started two-factor that I can recall, and I need to go ahead and verify this. I'm going to research this, but I think iOS did start two-factor authentication before everybody else did, mm-hmm. but it wasn't too long that Microsoft and Google followed suit. So, I mean, I think I will give them that credit. But in terms of what you were saying, in terms of your stuff following you, as long as you're using the same Gmail account, what I have on my computer, I also have access to on my phone.
Okay.
With a couple of apps, including like Google Remote Desktop, I can get on my phone right now and touch up a file that I'm designing back in my home office right now. So there are different things that are out there, and Google has let Chrome be the conduit, has let Chrome be the resource that holds that for you. So I'm gonna call shenaniganry on that one. I feel where you're coming from, but there are a lot of different things, especially if they're Google branded app, that they could be able to still follow along with it.
Right.
And having small, like Google Drive still beats the pants off of any other remote desktop service like Dropbox, Apple Cloud, iCloud, or any of these other cloud services in terms of price. Because for $2 a month, for $1.99, I get 100 gigs.
Yeah.
I got grandfathered in before they changed the price. I get 2 terabits for $10 a month. So yeah, it works out pretty good, and so that I would say one of the things, and I'm just going to just go ahead and return a shot with a shot. Android versus iPhone. I would say Google and Android have more versatility, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's something I didn't realize until researching mm-hmm. for this. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. if you plug an Android into a PC, mm-hmm. Android actually has like a drag and drop feature mm-hmm. that you can use. Like you could treat an Android phone as a hard drive if you wanted to. Mm-hmm. I don't know why you would want to, but you can drag something from your computer and drop it into your Android files.
To be fair, you can do that on Apple devices.
Okay.
Again, I've got just because I'm more like Android, team Android and everything else, don't mean that I've not learning and you know, getting bumping my head in terms of different things. If I plug my phone into my son's Apple right now, and if I go and do it, it'll recognize it as a drive, and I can drag and drop files to and from.
Right, but like you can do that with every computer.
Correct.
On Android. You correct. Can't do that with everything on iPhone. I think it has to be just your Mac, correct?
Mm-mm. Now, iTunes will help manage it. And in okay. some situations, you do need iTunes in certain situations. But I think to each organization's credit, to each company's credit, iPhone has realized what Google is doing right, and I need to go ahead and change that. Google and Android is doing right, and Google and Android is like, I need to go ahead and co-opt what iPhone is doing right, what Apple's doing right. And so they're trying to constantly not so much one-up each other. PC is sat back because there hasn't been a Windows phone in my – I don't think there's really been a Windows phone. Last time I owned a Windows phone was like 2014, 2015. Mm-hmm. BlackBerry kind of went under like early 2010s, right? So like people really weren't really paying attention to BlackBerry. So it's solely been – Google Android versus Apple, basically. And at some point people are watching and waiting. They're going to come up with something else. But both companies, both PC, if you own a PC, PC has Microsoft has what they call PC Link, which allows you to be able to connect any phone, whether it's an Android or iPhone.
Okay.
Macs, Apple has realized, like, I need to go ahead. I do have people that are not just having we have Google phone users that are using my products.
Yeah.
They have something similar. So, and even wirelessly, like I can plug my phone in. I don't have to plug my phone in. PC Link uses, again, two-factor authentication, those magic QR codes.
Right.
You scan it or whatever. It says, okay, and we're going to verify this to your email. Okay, thank you, Mr. Sabir. Okay, cool. And then just for extra security, it'll say turn your phone's Bluetooth on. So that lets me know that my phone is physically sitting right there. So as long as I'm connected to that computer, as long as I'm physically or in the area or at least have Wi-Fi connected, if it can connect, it prefers Bluetooth, I can work my – I plug my phone in and set it to the side. I very rarely look at my phone. I respond to emails. I respond to text messages. I handle pop-ups that come up on my phone without even having to pick up my phone. By the time I need to pick up my phone, it's fully charged and I'm ready to go on with my day. So and to be fair, again, Apple does do that. They do that, and they will allow for Google phones to do that too, Android phones to do it.
Right. Well, two things I want to drop in here before we go to the break.
Yeah, yeah.
Formally, when this conversation came up, the iPhone versus Android, a common argument in favor of Android was that it had the USB-C dongle.
Correct.
Now, with iPhone 15, they're moving into the USB-C.
Yep.
So I don't think they're going to retroactively, you know, I don't think they're making more iPhone 14s and putting the USB-C in it.
Yeah, yeah.
But that is an advantage that Android used to have that they're still going to have for years as people slowly phase out of that,
right,
the older editions.
Right.
And one thing that I know a lot of people appreciate about Apple specifically is Apple CarPlay.
Yes.
That is a cool thing. I don't know if Samsung or Android does have something.
Android Auto. That's the name of it.
Okay, cool.
Android Auto.
I don't know any cars that have done that.
So I know my wife's car does. She drives a Volkswagen. We rented a GMC Terrain for our wedding, and it had one. It's regardless. So that's Volkswagen, German-born car, and GMC, that's American-born car. Android Auto's been around for a while.
Okay,
Android.
So I'm just learning that all the things that I thought were cool about iPhone are just Android features as well.
And again, they looked in each other's pot and said, okay, I like the way you're doing that gumbo. Let me add something to my gumbo. They're doing that constantly.
We're glad you found our show, Everyday Tech, on MPB Think Radio. This is Abram Naney here, still with Sabir Abdul-Haq. Email us at everydaytech@mpbonline.org. We've been talking about the differences between iPhone and Android, and in doing so, we hope to kind of help better inform you of your decision next time you're picking a phone.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's no secret, Sabir definitely favors Androids.
Yeah, yeah.
And something he said repeatedly is that all the cool new features that iPhone adds, Android has them first, correct?
They've kind of, again, like what we were saying, they've kind of tasted off each other's stew.
Right. Like like I said, it hasn't been all of them, but it is consistent. Mm-hmm. Like, what's a few things that come to mind for you first initially?
Well, like we were saying before the break, I would say, like, you know, in terms of Android Auto, they came up with Android Auto after they came up with Apple CarPlay. And to be fair, Apple's been in the smartphone business a little bit longer. Right. So they've had it. They've not by too much longer. Like, I remember the old school Hiro HTC fat phones that the Android ones with the really easy to break screen and everything.
Yeah.
That's always my wife's main argument. Y'all screens break too easy. But yeah,
they're also bigger, though, aren't they?
Well, yeah, they were bigger. Yeah. The original ones, the OG phones back in 2009, 2010, those were bigger phones. The Android, the original iPhone, like the iPhone 3 and everything, it was iPhone. Then it jumped to iPhone 3 and everything. Those right there were smaller, slimmer phones. And then they've come up with different designs, but they've basically had the same ingredients. So yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So Android, just a few of the features that they've had first. Android first had Google's call screen.
Correct.
And iPhone now is introducing live voicemail, which what is that?
So the live voicemail, that's different. Hold on.
It's the same thing. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing. Hmm. But I hadn't seen that yet. I don't know if that's going to be a new update.
I'm going to put it this way. As you're bringing up phone calls, one thing that iPhone still hasn't done, which is surprising to me, Google Voice has been around since 2014, 2015, something like that, maybe even a little bit earlier, which basically is a free phone call service. It's absolutely free. If you have a Gmail account, you can use Google Voice and you have a second number, essentially. Like for the businesses and other, some of the other entities and organizations that I run, I've got like about five phones. I've got five phone numbers on my one phone that I can operate, respond, send text message to. I've all of those like on my one phone. And surprisingly, iOS has not done that. Apple has not done that. To my knowledge, I have not. I'm willing to be corrected on that.
I think you know, Shane has two iPhones, one being a work phone, one being a personal phone.
Correct, correct.
So I don't know if that's because they don't have that feature, but
that's the unfortunate thing, because like, for example, like my work number that I have is actually a Google Voice number, because this is my personal phone. But I've got this and four other phones, including my work number, come through here. If somebody, before we started, someone texted me or whatever, and I'm going to respond to them later. But I can do that from my phone. I don't have to manage multiple phones. Why? And so that's one thing I'm surprised that Apple has not done yet, like a voice service, a voice number that is made by them that they secure and all those different things. I'm really surprised they've not done that. But you can do Google Voice on a Apple phone, on an iPhone, but not as natively, not as cleanly, not as neatly as you can as this good old beautiful wonderful
okay,
device.
Okay.
Right.
Something else that a lot of people use that Android did first was the app drawer that Android uses versus the app library.
Right.
On iPhone, because app drawer came first before the iPhone.
Okay, tell me about app drawer. This is different.
That's where you can like offload the apps off of your home screen.
Like to do folders.
Basically. Yes.
Okay, I got you. Yes. Now I give them that. Yes, they did do that because then Google did an update. I think that was. See, this is 2023. I give them maybe 2019, 2020 when you started being able to do folders on Android phones. So you're correct. Apple got us there. So that way you won't have. And that's one thing that helps with memory. So although Apple, you run out of space. And this is another thing. Speaking of which, so when you got folders, when you do folders, you're able to better. We've talked about previous shows. There's a difference between your hard drive, which is like your stomach, versus your memory, which is like your heart.
Mm-hmm.
When you have folders and you got apps in those folders, you are saving memory, your heart. You're saving that memory space on your phone. One thing that Apple does not have is the ready on-demand access to be able to clean your cache. Your cache is cash, not cash like money.
Like
C-A-C-H-E. Yeah. Your cache, Apple does not natively allow, and by natively, I mean by default, by design. Apple does not natively have a way to be able to manage your cache. Now, again, if there's someone out there that sees like, you can use this app, you can use an app. But I can go ahead inside the install file with a couple of buttons. And if my Facebook, if I'm in on Facebook way too long and I've got 3 gigs, and that's a lot on a phone. If I've got 3 gigs on my Android phone, I can clear that cache in a couple of button presses. You can't do that with iPhone.
Right.
Okay. And a lot of times I've had some of my old coworkers and everybody else say, "Sabrina, do you know anything about this iPhone? Do you know anything about this? Do you know about that?" I'm like, "What's wrong? Well, my phone's running slow." We'll look up. They went ahead. They have updated their phone. They're out of space. Or they're running memory and they can't control their cache. iPhone users, to my knowledge, as of speaking these words and these syllables out my face right now, does not have an ability to be able to control your cache and manage your cache.
Right.
That is something that Android does have over iPhone, to my knowledge.
Yeah. And then one more thing. We've got a phone call.
Okay.
We'll get to him, to Bobby. We'll get to you in a second. But iPhone removed their home button. before Android did in favor of using just gestures like sliding and swiping. I'm not sure exactly of the utility of that. I guess it broke a lot. So the sliding and swiping, much more easy.
Right. Now, I'm trying to remember. I'm going back. I've had a few phones. Did Android ever have we have a home button that you press on a glass. I'm trying to remember if there's actually, well, there's been physical buttons. Yeah, there have been physical buttons on that. Yeah. But the sliding, like the swipe of everything else, Android had that first.
Yeah.
To text or whatever.
Android
did that first.
I've seen one person use that before in my life. And of course, they're an Android user.
And then my wife is like, hey, can you go ahead and text us? What's going on? Hey, we got more high school students. Come on. Hey, y'all. but yeah, whenever you have that started, they called it swipe. The SWYPE. And that was through Samsung. That was back in the early 2010s, something like that. So, but yeah, it took a while for iPhone to do that. And I'm like, I would watch iPhone users sit there and I'm like, bro, look, you don't give yourself Tourette's or something. Like, what in the world? Like, what's wrong with you? You can give yourself a nervous tick since they're trying to text it, but they tapping the heck out of their phone. I'm like, man. But yeah, we came up with it's another thing in our hat. I would say the swipe feature came first, and we also had what else were we just talking about? We said the swipe feature, and we also had. We got a few things, but
yeah,
I'm going to go ahead.
Yeah, several things. Yeah. All right. Bobby in Yazoo has some comments for us. What's up, Bobby?
Look, I have an iPhone 14.
Okay.
And I noticed he said at the beginning of y'all's program that there was a difference between Android and Samsung. Mm-hmm. And I want to know how many gigs of memory I can get on either one of them, and because I'm going to get another phone. And which one would he pick, the Android, if there's a difference, the Android or the Samsung? Okay. That's my question.
Okay, great question. So you can go in Kroger right now, brother. Good morning. Thanks for calling us. You can go in Kroger right now, and you can go right there at the checkout area or the cash area or whatever, and most of the phones they have sitting up there hanging up from the side, most of them are Android phones. That's an Android. Anything that's not running iOS, that's not running Apple, is an Android phone in today's market largely. But you can go ahead and if you're looking for a Samsung, it would particularly say Samsung. Samsung runs Android as well, but Samsung, it runs on Android, just like how your computer may run on Windows, right? If you've got a Mac computer, that computer runs on the different version of the OS that it has, the Mac OS that it has. So those are the two different types of main computers you got, right? So you've got a Mac OS, you've got Windows. Those are two different things. Just like Android is a certain operating system, and iOS is what Apple uses, right? So if you're getting an Android phone, the reason why I say, and I've been on social media and laughed with friends about it, like there's a difference between Android and there's a difference between Samsung. I guess you can kind of compare it to, there's a difference between, you know, generic cornflakes and Kellogg's cornflakes, or there's a difference between generic Frosted Flakes and the one that's got that big tiger on the front of it, right? One of those is making you hungry. It's breakfast still somewhere, but yeah.
If you was gonna have to buy Android or Samsung, which one would you buy?
Specifically for memory.
Specifically for memory, or just in general, brother?
Yeah, cause see, I think mine got 124, 168. I don't know how many gigabytes of memory. It's over 100.
So you bring forth a very good question. If you're not very tech savvy, if all you really do is like pay bills, I'm gonna be fair. If you're not very tech savvy, if you just need something that's going to work and you're not going to put a lot of heavy apps on it, stick with your iPhone. But if you feel like saying, you know what, I'm sick of my iPhone, I want to go do something else, I want to go to Team Android, we'll welcome you over here, but go ahead and buy yourself a Samsung.
What is the price range? They had them up to $1,000 or more. So which one would you suggest?
Depending on what you're looking for, and who your phone company is, that'll determine it. If you get some, there are Samsungs out there that they start with like the A07, A070. Those are like the really like small bare bones type stuff. Look for something that's like, if you're going to get something, look for Galaxy. Look for something that says Galaxy, and definitely probably try to stray away from anything that starts with A in that Samsung Galaxy. Look for the things that are S's, right? Like I'm looking at my Samsung Galaxy S21. My next phone probably will be maybe in a year or two or whatever. I may get the 23, 25, whatever they got, or the Samsung Galaxy Note, whatever the newest one is out there right now. I feel that if you keep up with it, if you stay on top of things, brother, if you stay on top of clearing out your caches, and if you got any other tech questions for, your local tech guy or gal that you work with, definitely reach out to them. That Samsung will last you a good 2 or 3 years. But that Apple, if you're downloading a lot of apps and other different things, that Apple, if you get something that's only like 64 gigs, only 32 gigs, mm-hmm. you might be running out of space in a few months.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And we were talking about that off air, was how much easier it is to get more storage.
Yeah.
In Androids and whatnot.
Yeah.
So Bobby, thanks for the call. If you like to get back to us, email us at everydaytech at mpbonline.org. We've got another caller who is concerned about privacy. What's going on?
Hey, good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I got a question about privacy concerns. I was going through the settings on my Android phone, and I found out that they've taken pictures without my consent. They can access my phone calls, my voicemails, and they can monitor me. Is there any way that they get to a block, a generic block to block everything, or you got to go through each specific app and feature to block everything?
Okay, that's a great question. And I've seen that happen. Now, the screenshots and everything else kind of concerns me. The screenshots and everything that kind of concerns me. I'm not sure what your day-to-day is, but I'm thinking that you might want to be careful that your phone has not been rooted. But rooted means that there's a possibility. I'm not saying that that's happened, brother, but that screenshot thing makes me think that there may have been either you may have accidentally downloaded an app, or even realized you downloaded maybe even a security app on purpose that may be doing screenshots for you. They might be doing different things for you as a part of your security things. It's a possibility. You may have downloaded an app and didn't realize that. And if that's the case, then it's doing what it's supposed to do. If your phone has been rooted, that means without your knowledge, that means it may have been hacked. You can look on Google to see how to be able to restage or to reset your phone, and that'll take care of everything. Now, one quick little thing I want to mention is most Google, whenever you're on Google and if you're doing Google searches, Google tells you in the print before you really get started, it says, we save your data. We will save your data to help make your Google experience better. And we may do it for, they may also do it for statistical data and things like that. You do have to read it. iPhone does the same thing. You just have to read the fine print on it. It's not really fine print. It's there. But just read the print on it and make sure that's not happening, because that does happen. You might wonder why some of your searches are also popping up in your social media feeds. It's because you've said something or visited another related website or content with that. So that's kind of what it is. So I wouldn't worry too much just yet. Maybe go ahead and start removing some recent apps you may have installed. That may take care of that for you.
And something else I would add, I know iPhone has the feature. I don't know for sure if Android does, but a lot of the times I've enabled this feature that where I can double tap the back of my phone, haptic double tap the back of my phone, and it'll screenshot whatever's on my screen.
Correct.
And a lot of times that it'll give me an accidental screenshot where I'll just set my phone down and it reads it as me trying to screenshot the phone. So if Android has that could explain some of the random pictures that you're seeing.
Most Androids will do a screenshot if you press the volume up and the power button. That's also a screenshot too. So if you accidentally tap them, and I don't know how sensitive your keys are, or if Android also does one if you put your hand over it. If you put your hand over the screen and I think it's hand and then slide to the left, slide to the right. I forgot what it is. So there's a hand and then something else. If you do that, that's also a shortcut for screen for a screenshot. So you may not, it's not something to worry about. You may have accidentally triggered in one of the features that makes your phone easy to use and didn't realize it.
All right. Well, we appreciate that call. For the last little bit of the show, let's talk about what people generally look at when trying to decide what phone to buy and sort of try to fact check that.
Okay.
So like we were talking, people like the iPhone because of its perceived extra security and quicker updates. And from what I could find, that is technically true. Because Android offers more customization options, its code kind of sacrifices some security options in favor of accessing more data. So whereas iPhone requests less data collection and is more secure because of it, but it's mostly up to the user, right? Because like you give those apps permission to access your data. You just might not realize it as much with Android when you've got iPhone.
I would say that they've both done really well. Like this year, for example, I watch my updates like a hawk. This year for 2023, there have been no less than 6 large security updates for Android. And that's for things that they've seen. So I would say that in terms of update frequency, I'm not sure I would kind of dispute that. But in terms of things that you may be some of the updates or other things that are happening. Yeah, that's possible.
Yeah, for sure. And then Androids are typically viewed, like we talked about earlier, and I definitely just discovered more, as more compatible with other devices than iPhone is.
Yes. There are certain things that, what's going on? There are other things that are also that are coming up that, yeah, Android will go ahead and plug and play a little bit quicker. iPhone, you kind of have to jump through a little bit extra hoops, or as we talked through earlier, sometimes to talk to your computer, you may need iTunes to be able to help you manage it.
Yeah.
You don't need that with Android.
And, you know, the main thing many buyers look for when getting a new phone is the price.
Oh, yeah.
And
iPhones are going to be higher.
Go ahead and tell them.
You better go ahead and get you a Samsung. And again, Androids, if you just want to have something for the kids and even like to get an iTablet for the kids or whatever, you can go get yourself a nice little inexpensive, you know, Android powered or Samsung branded tablet. Far cheaper for half the price, quarter the price of an iPad.
Yeah. And we talked about this a little bit earlier, but a lot of people say that the better apps come to the iOS first.
Mm.
And, you know, the term better is, of course, subjective.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of developers definitely prefer the Google Play option than App Store because of that price to develop.
Them developers paid $1,000 to get it done.
Yeah, for sure. Well, that's going to wrap us up for the day. Thanks, Sabir, for helping myself and our callers out. Ultimately, what we found is that both iPhones and Androids have pros and cons, and it's still up to your personal preference.
Yep.
If you missed any of the show, make sure you listen back to it on your favorite podcasting app or download the MPB Public Media app. Everyday Tech is brought to you by Mississippi Public Broadcasting, Think Radio, and generous contributions from listeners. Our show today was engineered by Java Chapman. Our call screeners today were our interns Will and Henri. I've been your host, episode, and podcast producer, Abram Naney. Thank you for tuning in. Up next is Dr. Jimmy Stewart with the original Southern Remedy. We'll be back next Wednesday morning at 10 right here on MPB Think Radio.
This is an MPB Think Radio podcast. To hear previous shows, visit mpbonline.org or download the MPB Public Radio app to listen on your iPhone or Android phone on demand.